This either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair, fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl!
And so are we. Hello, hello, here we are!
Well, most of us anyway.
Yes, in the Corsair's closet. I am Time Siren.
I am the awful husband.
And again, Madwoman is not. She is, she's actually not on planet Personal Crisis for once. She is on planet taking care of her dad who just came from home from the hospital. And we also have another member here. I don't know if he's a half or a third, but he's kind of a troublemaker. He's making noise in the background. And that is our Maine Coon boy, Rhubarb, who's currently looking for a way to get up here and cause chaos.
Rhubarb!
We love you, Rhubarb! But you're past. Anyhoodle, we are going to soldier on here. We do have kind of a potpourri of stuff today. No real solid direction except to be rather directionless, but that's okay.
It's all the little dregs we've had left over from other weeks.
Yeah, lots of things accumulating. So we're going to go through this cumulus nimbus confusionus here, and we're going to start off with Nassiner, with your stuff from last week and the week before.
Well, to wrap up our trip to SLO, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Now, if you know San Luis Obispo or not, it's a small community. There's lots of cows and cattle and lots of barbecue because of that.
Oh, yes.
But if you're thinking, well, I'm a fan, there's nothing there for me, why would I move there? Wrong! There are three stores I want to give a shout out to. One is called Nemo, Cheap Thrills, and The Sub. And I think they're all owned by the same person. They're all related.
Yeah, same organization.
Yeah. Nemo is a gaming store. And that's everything from D&D to Magic the Gathering. Even so, there's a collectible card game for My Little Pony there.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I kind of was tempted to pick that up, but we got the card game Red Shirts instead.
Ah, yes. Want to play that.
Well, it's got all kinds of games and board games, chess. It's like a myriad of things. And they also have a huge selection of DVDs and anime and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, my.
And wonderful. Then right next door to this Cheap Thrills, and that's a music store. And that's not just records and CDs. It's also musical instruments, sheet music, all that kind of thing for people who play. And then just down the street from there, and you have to look for the store. It's a white store. You'd never guess what's in it. It's called The Sub, and it's like hippie paradise.
It's actually Time Capsule.
Yes. From the outside, you might think, oh, it's a party supply store. But
yeah, it's party, all right. Yeah. You know how they used to party in the 60s? Yeah, with the funny little cigarettes and yeah, the pot and the love-ins. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there's the party theme is summed up in two phrases. One of them is blacklight, posters and paint. The other is books, among which we found one on how to bake with pot. It was a pot cooking cookbook.
Yes. The blacklight, there's a whole room dedicated to blacklight. And yes. Like posters and paint and jewelry.
Oh,
and
my. Oh, it's wonderful.
Wigs, whatever you want. There's a costuming room. And they got some cosplay stuff and just all kinds of other cosplay and costuming stuff.
They had a huge portion downstairs, kind of a basement. And they had tons of posters in there. Jimi Hendrix and Yellow Submarine and all of that scene, and it was pretty neat. I even found some Amy Brown and Naomi Thomas prints down there.
Yeah, which are fantasy artists you see at, like, Comic-Con.
Yeah. The ones about fairies. It was pretty cool.
And there was a goth room there with all kinds of skeletal things and statues and skeleton rings. And so whatever you're into that's kind of like that, you'll find something.
And this place has been around since the 70s.
Yeah, we've never noticed it until now.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, it's out of downtown. Yeah. It's on the way towards Madonna Road, and it's just in a section that's really between a lot of others. But actually, when you're done talking about that, I want to reiterate the fabric store that's around the corner from there.
Which was also hard to find, but I think I'm done with that. Oh, they had the katanas there, if you're into Japanese stuff.
Huge selection of knives and Yes, not the knives of knives and forks, but the knives of those kind of weapon things.
Well, they also had, like, army knives and hunting knives.
Yeah, so they're decorative knives.
There's a lot. I mean, just go in there. You'll find something you're into.
Yes.
Oh, and standees. They had standee of the TARDIS. of Princess Leia. Sheldon from Big Bang. There's a standee of him.
They had flags. American flag, California flag, flag with the marijuana leaf on it. It was fascinating. But yes, around the corner from there is a place called Betty's Fabrics. And they had tons of fabric in there. Not much in the way of glittery, glitzy, what you call costuming fabric. But your kind of basic fabrics and a lot of type of fabric for quilting. Lots of calico prints and stuff like that. They also had a full service section on Yanama sewing machines, which, or some people call them Janomis. They're these amazing embroidery machines. I bought one years ago because my mother's singer is having problems, and it just couldn't do what I wanted it to. And I've never fully explored the capabilities of those, but it has a huge range of supplies, the different needles and the different feet for doing all these sorts of different specialized stitches. So, fantastic place.
Yeah. I still have my mom's sewing machine back from 1958.
Oh.
So, and that's in a big case and everything.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I kept that for my mom.
Yeah. It's especially when you've got somebody, you know, like us that can appreciate it, especially me with costuming. Mm-hmm. And
I still have the receipt. It cost my dad $400 back in 1958.
Wow. And wasn't it like the first electronic one?
No, they had electronic before then, but that was like the top of the line not that year.
Oh, okay.
And my mom was a seamstress, so that was the one thing she really wanted before when she first came to America.
Because
she would make my dad's shirts and trousers and everything.
Oh.
When she first moved here.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Slo is a wonderful place, and when you're in between costuming trips, you can go and sample all of the food there and gain 100 pounds and you'll be very happy. You won't care because the food is such good quality.
And depending on what hotel you stay at, they will literally barbecue right outside your door.
Yes. On what time of month you get there, because we hit it just in time to have barbecue literally outside our motel door. Fantastic. So, Mr. Awful Husband, what did we encounter on the way home that I could not dissuade you from going to?
If you go to Slo, you have to make this one special stop. You get off on, I think it's this 263 highway. It's the one that's going to Salvang. But before you get to Salvang, you have to make a stop at
Ostrich Land.
Ostrich Land,
where the birds are 8 feet tall and absolutely terrifying.
They're not as terrifying as they used to be the first time we found this place.
Oh, thank goodness.
I liked them earlier.
Yes.
See, now the way they fixed it, when you go to feed the ostriches, you're about 2 feet higher off the ground than they are. So when you hold the tray out for them to eat from, you're about eye level, or they're a little lower than eye level. Beforehand, you'd be at the same level as they are. And they come at you like velociraptors coming down into your bucket to grab food.
Yeah, they look like predators and are absolutely terrifying. It's just the way they, you know, they went at you. And they do bite, so they
do warn you.
Yes, they warn you with many, many signs that, yes, these things like to bite. So don't be stupid enough to stick a hand in there. But yeah, they aren't as frightening as they used to be, but still, these things are very large.
And since it's spring, they had baby ostriches and baby emus, so they were cute.
Yeah, the baby ostriches were all stripey.
Yeah.
Lots of stripes. And, yeah.
They have ostriches on one side and emus on the other.
It's too bad they grow up and look so ugly.
But if you can walk down and where it's like big open fields, and it's like them running around in Africa. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Of course, they keep you on another side of the fence, but it was an interesting place. And
it's worth the stop.
It is. It's $10 to go in there and gawk at them and, you know, get a bucket of ostrich chum.
Yeah.
And which will last you about, I don't know, 30 seconds, because the way they come at you is, wow. You'd think that they'd starve these things for a year, but they don't.
But it's a pretty cool experience.
It's just they're really
hungry. At least once.
Yeah, yeah. So what else have we got?
Well, in the news, actually it's back by February or March, Webster's Dictionary actually added the word steampunk to their dictionary.
Wow.
So it's now an official word of this brewery. So I think that's pretty exciting.
That is interesting. I wonder when they're going to add cosplay.
I don't know.
That is something that we will keep our eyes open for. And if you see that they have actually added the word cosplay, you can email us and let us know. You can do a search on Facebook for the Corsair's Closet. And we have a fan page. Or you can go to Corsairs-Closet.com, no apostrophe, and you'll find Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook links there. You can also find our email address, which for me is time-siren@Corsairs-Closet.com.
Or you can reach me at awfulhusband@KryptonRadio.com.
Spelled A-F-O-L, Adult Fan of Lego. Yes.
Speaking of which...
Yes.
I have an update.
Oh.
Way back at the beginning of the year when the Lego movie came out, they had announced that the DVD would be out on August 19th. Well, guess what? It's already out.
Well, they couldn't wait, huh?
No. I picked my copy up at Costco. It was $39.99, but there was a $5 discount, so it was only $34.99. And I got the Everything is Awesome edition. Which includes,
oh, let me check this thing out. Yeah, oh, that's cool. It includes
Blu-ray, DVD, and HD Ultraviolet, which is a downloadable copy.
This is so cool.
If you put the code in, you can watch it anywhere you are just by putting the code in.
I like that. It's got a figure in it.
It has Vitris, which is the old sage mystic guy from the movie.
A little Lego minifigure, which is compatible with their others. And there's a great big, I love this, a 3D photo of their hero, Emmett. He's as big as the box, staring out at us with a cocky little smile here, and his little hard worker hat.
Yeah.
And, oh, he's cute.
This is a really good movie. It was well written, well thought out. If you're just a fan of Lego or used to play with Lego, but if you're a real fan like me, adult fan of Lego, there are so many levels that goes down to. The heroes that are called the Master Builders, which in real life, the Master Builders are the ones who make all the giant models you see at the park or at the traveling displays.
Yep.
There's a part where these Master Builders, the way they look at their Lego world, they see that it's kind of like a Matrix thing, where they see the piece, they see the number, the stock number.
Oh, the part numbers?
The part number.
Cool.
So it's kind of Matrix-y in that way. So if you're a Lego fan, there's a lot more levels to it.
You relate.
Yeah.
You relate. Definitely.
And I won't put, I won't spoil anything, but what really comes down to, it's the story of someone who's become a great builder, but has forgotten how to play. And that's kind of sad, but that's what it's really built about, the whole movie.
Yeah.
So it's a really good film.
Yep, we definitely recommend it. Mm-hmm. So next on our list of things we threw up in the air and grabbed as it came floating down... I want to mention this passing of somebody. It's been about a week or so.
Yes.
And it's really sad. It was somebody that we grew up with, our generation, who are now like 50 years old. And that is an amazing, he was an amazing DJ in the 70s. And that's Casey Kasem. And this is a guy, he used to do the America's Top 40.
Yeah, he's on the radio for 39 years.
He just was the nicest guy. And, he ended up with Parkinson's, and that's, that took a while. I mean, when President Reagan had it, he had it for 10 years before he finally succumbed. And with Casey, unfortunately, there was a lot of notoriety surrounding his illness because of the fight with his family between his wife and his kids, but we miss him. And he was just somebody who was, like, really special. So, yeah.
Well, we hear in the closet, it's not just his DJ work, but he was the voice of Shaggy on the Scooby-Doo from 1968 to 2008.
Yeah, he did the lion's share of the run.
And he did a lot of other voices for Hanna-Barbera. He was a character in Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh.
And a bunch of other ones, but his best voice that he's known for is Shaggy.
Oh, yeah, by far is Shaggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they have gotten one or two others recently after he retired that can do the role, but I remember an interview with one of the gentlemen. He said to get ready for the reading, he screamed until his voice was hoarse. So I thought that was kind of funny.
It was a very unique voice. You know Shaggy's voice wherever you hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt, ever a doubt. And so we'll miss you, Casey. And, hey, you know.
He was the icon of our generation.
Yeah, he really was. He was awesome. Everything and everyone is awesome. And...
Everything is awesome.
Uh-oh. Do I have to insert that music?
Well, you know, it's kind of part of my mantra, because the other line after that is, everything is awesome when you're building your dream. And that's what I'm doing as a writer. I'm building my dream.
Yeah.
So that's a mantra of mine.
Yes. Personal mantra. Awesome. An awesome, awesome mantra. So... I'm stuck in a record. Somebody hit the side of me. Oh, thank you. Okay, so we had our second meetup for our... I created a group. It's about arts and crafts. And the first meetup 2 weeks ago, we met at Northridge Mall in the food court. They have lots of room. But Joann's Fabrics is now offering space, free space to meetup groups. So we've moved it there. We were there last week and tons of room. And afterwards, you know, we all decided, oh, you know, I need something down this aisle. Oh, I got to go get a silver calligraphy pen. I'm going to go down here.
It's kind of convenient that way, isn't
it? It's incredibly convenient. And I'm sure they absolutely saw that's what was going to happen, that they were going to get sales from it. So I'm thinking about moving them, because right now we're meeting Thursdays from 4 to 8. And the only issue with that is when my senior clients want to go to Las Vegas. So I'm thinking about moving it to another night. And if I do that, then I will let everybody know. But also, if you're local and you want a nice block of time to work on projects, come down and, you know, bring your little portable projects. Events like this sure taught me how to be portable. When I first started in fandom and we had dealer's tables, I would bring, like, you remember every bead I owned?
Yes.
Every box.
And the sewing machine sometimes.
And the sewing machine was a nightmare. And I've gotten a lot more portable that way. And actually, this time, I ran to a bead store in Newberry Park called Creative Castle off the 101 freeway. And I picked up the seed beads to make another Doctor Who Lariat necklace scarf. But this time in Tom Baker 4th Doctor colors.
Well, that's cool. That's probably the best known scarf.
Yeah, and I've resisted it because I absolutely hate the colors. Some of them are abso-freaking ugly. And... you know, you can't fight it that was the Doctor of our generation, you know, except for us. I mean, it was the first Doctor we both laid eyes on, not at the same time, but it wasn't the one that really snagged us. So.
He was Tom Baker was the first Doctor to appear in America.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, hence, you have a huge audience for him. I want to do the Lariat necklace in preparation for Clockwork Couture, Art of the TARDIS, beginning of August. Oh my God, I only have like a month and a week or two to do this.
You still have some time.
Ah! Yeah, well, the whole thing takes about 12 hours. I know that from the first one I did and sold in the art show at Gallifrey for $200. So, yeah, I got time.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so, moving right along here. I have a couple of things that are just little side notes. They're like calendar things. Well, one of them is a heads up about a book that has come out, and the other things are like calendar-y things. There is a book out. One of the co-authors is Dawn Divine Davina, and her website is davina.us. That's D-A-V as in Victor, I-N-A.us. And it's a book about an Egyptian fabric that is used a lot in belly dancing. It's called, I'm going to slaughter this name, Assiut, A-S-S-I-U-T. And it's basically Egyptian tulle fabric with metal patterns embroidered into it, metal thread, which could be as thin as a single thread. But it's beautiful fabric, and there's actually some historical information about it on her website, under davina.us-blog/cloth-of-Egypt, and that's hyphenated there. And it talks about, and actually says, cloth is a marriage of Turkish single-stitch metal embroidery technique with Egyptian cotton tulle. and it's gorgeous fabric. I know when I was dancing, some of the costumes I accumulated, there was a lot of this stuff in it. It's very, very pretty. It's named after the city that it originated in, and it goes back as far as the 19th century. And their production of it there reached zenith and popularity in the 1920s. And that was not coincidentally around the time that everybody was going to Egypt to go dig in the ruins and basically grab all the treasure they can or have it exposed to the world. So, interesting book. And she always does amazing books. She has a couple others on how to make belly dance outfits. And I've picked them up over the years. I found them really useful, very well detailed, very easy to understand. So that's something that's really kind of cool. Now, moving on, we are on target for Labyrinth, July 4th and 5th. Labyrinthmasquerade.com. There were actually little postcard flyers at Anime LA's picnic this past weekend.
That's right.
Did you want to mention something about that, quickishly, awful husband?
Well, let's see. We went there because we're trying to get a blood drive going, but they're just too big right now for their convention center.
And their convention
center is the Marriott Airport Hilton.
Yes.
Which is the same hotel that hosts Gallifrey and LostCon.
Yes. So, again, we're striking out with finding venues for blood drives.
Yes.
But they had a bunch of costumes show up at this beautiful park, and it was nice. It was fun. Boy.
It's like a miniature anime convention with all the anime cosplayers around. That was pretty cool.
It was. Lots of nice energy and about 100 people, maybe more, that were there.
But this is their last convention at this hotel. They're looking for a bigger venue.
Oh, good.
Which is good for them because there are like 4,500 people. And to compare that, Gallifrey at the same hotel is 3,000 people. So they are quickly outrunning their space.
Oh, yeah.
So when they move, they don't know where yet. It's going to be either L.A., Anaheim or Ontario, because those are the cities that have big convention centers. And so hopefully they'll have more space there. They'll have space for a blood drive. And we'll see what happens in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Chaz is the one that runs basically Anime LA. He had flyers for something called Costume Camp. This is their third year, hence Costume Camp 3. And their website is costumecamp.org. It's going to be Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September 1st at the Fraser Woods Conference Center. It's in the mountains above the Grapevine. That makes it 75 miles from Burbank Airport and 65 from Bakersfield, so it's almost dead center. And they have a lodge there. They have electricity. I was joking when I first got the card. I'm like, Chaz, why are you going in the middle of the woods to costume here? How are you going to run your sewing machines with squirrels? And he said, no, they've got, he pointed out that the postcard has pictures of the facilities there. They have full power, so.
Well, this is like camping, so I imagine that once you put your costume together, there are great food opportunities.
Yeah, well, it's in the woods, so that's good. I don't know if there's a river there. Being at the top of the Grapevine, I'm not certain about that. But it's nice that it's that time of year because you won't have issues with snow or needing chains, which you often do on the Grapevine in the winter. And it's a retreat. They do bead retreats for people that do bead work. This is basically a costume college out in the woods. And it's fun. If you volunteer, you might actually get a discount on it. You can always email them and find out. It's something that I wanted to mention that's local. And if you out there in listener land have any kind of a similar retreat that you'd like to let everyone know and share with us, or you're running one and you want to get it promoted and pimped out there, then I point you to the earlier contact info and to get a hold of us.
Yeah, let's especially know what's happening on like the East Coast or in the South, because we really don't have too much information on that.
Yeah. So it's, always good to hear from other people out there.
Okay, well, before we get off on the subject of cosplay, I just want to mention one show that I happened to catch on the Sci-Fi Channel, or Sci-Fi, or whatever they're calling it these days.
Yeah, really.
By the way, if you're wondering why they changed it from Sci-Fi to S-Y-F-Y, is because they couldn't copyright the word Sci-Fi. So they had to change it to something they could copyright.
Oh, boy. Of course they did.
Anyway, there's a show on the air. I don't know how long it's been on. It's called Heroes of Cosplay.
Uh-huh.
So I only caught one episode. I'll have to watch a couple more to really give a good report. But just off the top of my head, these cosplayers don't really seem to be cosplayers like I know. And the reason I said that is because in this one episode, they were getting ready for a convention in 2 weeks in Florida. And all the cosplayers goes, okay, it's been 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks to go. Let's put our costumes together. And it's like all the costumers I know work on a year for a costume. You know, a Lady Loki works on a year. My sister works on a year when she created her Jack Sparrow. Toby, I don't remember Toby's last name, but he does Jack Sparrow. He does Willy Wonka. All these costumes take like a year. And so I don't know what this, oh, we got 2 weeks, let's start on something.
You know,
stuff is.
People, inexperienced costumers do actually do that. And sometimes you get hit with the inspiration. And I've seen people go, oh my God, I've got a few days. I've got nothing. What am I going to put together here? So it does happen. But the professional ones really do try to give it more time.
Yeah, so
I think the thing that killed me is this one particular episode, this one guy was trying to work with fiberglass and he was pouring it outside in freezing temperatures in New York and hoping that it was going to cure. Well, that stuff needs a controlled temperature and you cannot really work on it inside because of the fumes, but it won't cure in freezing temperatures.
Again, that's why it takes a year, because you have to do this when the temperature and the weather is right.
Yeah, for your outdoor projects, yeah. For your painting, your airbrushing, and your mold making. It just seemed to kind of drama. It was more like upplayed drama, and I didn't like that.
I'll give it a chance, but, well, you know, it's on TV, so I'm sure they get paid, and that's fine. They're on TV, they're giving us entertainment. So, but, I mean, all the costumers I know have a full-time job during the day.
Yeah.
And they can only work it at night or the weekends, which is another reason why it takes a year.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So I don't know what these other costumers do if they're just doing it for a show and that's all they're doing.
Well, yeah, you know, the year before we did the TARDIS cosplay at Gallifrey, as soon as that prior convention had ended and the one was coming up, we had decided we would do the TARDIS cosplay. Everybody got on Twitter and threw their ideas around and said, okay, I've started working on mine. And that was 365 days before we actually hit that convention. So it didn't mean they worked on it every single day, but you've got enough time there that if something doesn't work, you can work on it. I mean, shout out to Neo Hoovy and Marsha. She did a beautiful, she built a kind of, not quite a corset into her costume, but it had, it came down to a point in the center. It was beautiful, and it was very corset-like, and that's, you know, something tailored like that. Yeah, you're not going to be doing that 2 weeks before. No.
Plus, there's research. I mean, like, I know a couple of Jack Sparrows, and they all research the beads that go in the hair and the bones that go in the hair and what kind of buttons are in this jacket. So there's a lot of research on that.
Well, look what we went through with the Grinch and Martha May. We started in January for a Halloween premiere, you know, it was October 31st. We got thrown off a little bit because it was the year of 9/11 and someone decided to nuke the two buildings that we were going past in Grinch Night in Greenwich Village, New York. But we were well on our way. We had to do tons of research with, you know, and ran across people that had the fabric, the fur. Had molded the teeth, done the contact lenses, done the makeup. It was a huge effort. Yeah, it took almost an entire year.
Lady Loki had to have her face, a mask made of her face.
Life cast,
life cast. And then the appliance had to be sculpted from that.
And
it all takes time.
And then, you know, you let that dry and cure, and then you airbrush the color on. And, wow, it was something else, especially if you have not done it before. And she had not, for example, cut into the fur. The fur was like spandex. It was all kind of shrunk up and you stretched it. So how in the world, I remember her laying this out on the floor of her cabin that she was staying in at the time and calling me and going, I'm Christine, I'm scared. I don't know, you know, if I cut into this, you know, this stuff costs us like almost $500, and I'm scared I'm going to make a mistake.
And that was
on
a bolt of the actual fabric that was in the movie.
Yeah, but
you
it just
replace that.
It was their last lot of the Grinch fabric, and it stretches. So how do you cut it when it's not stretched to go around your leg? She had to screw up her nerve to even just touch it with the scissors. And then she just kind of went for it, and it was like everything else with the costume. It worked out perfect. It was absolutely perfect. We ran short a little bit, but that's when she decided to don the Grinch shorts and moon everybody with the shorts. Because, yeah, that's the Grinch, and he would be rude like that.
So it worked.
Yeah, it did. But, again, it's a journey, and you don't do a journey in 2 weeks. It's just not usually, it doesn't come out well. If you're in a screaming rush like that, unless that is your hobby and your business and you're working 24 hours at it. And even then, still 2 weeks, not enough time. So moving on.
Yeah. Actually, Susan Fox of Krypton Radio had a cartoon that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
If you could call that up real quick.
I will endeavor to do that. And why don't you start telling us what the heck this is about?
Well, once you read it, it'll be better. But it's basically about being nice to cosplayers as opposed to, you know, saying rude remarks, oh, the costume doesn't fit right or it doesn't look right or whatever.
Or you're too fat or whatever.
Yeah, that's not your body type.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it kind of fits in with this whole thing that we're going through right now on bullying.
Uh-huh.
And I think, I mean, recently, like in the last couple of months, I've heard more and more complaints about people being rude to costumers.
Uh-huh.
And I think, there it is.
Okay.
So you want to read through that.
Okay, so it's basically this cartoon, and it says, no matter your height, no matter your weight, no matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your skill level, you can cosplay whoever you want and look amazing doing it. In the end, we all love fiction, we all love characters, and we are all dorks in costumes and cosplay hate. Yeah, this is a fine line because it's nice if you kind of look like the character, you have the same build basically, but a lot of people do not have that luxury, especially with Disney princesses, because I'm looking and there's a picture of from Frozen here. With the main character, and yeah, she's small. Elsa is small and thin and petite. Not everybody is like that. So, it's just basically, you know, it's like you said, I've been reading a lot lately. I read a blog post lately about a costumer who was, actually, can I tell this?
Yes.
Okay, I read a blog, it was a blog post about a costumer who went to this special convention in New York. It was like NYSS or SE or something. She got there and it looked like she had on an Amelia Pond costume, the one with the red pullover sweater and the mini skirt and the leggings that are, they looked, they were like open black leggings. They, I don't remember the name for that.
They looked stocking-like.
Yeah, they were fishnets. That's what they looked like.
Yeah, that's it.
Big open work ones. And she's weighs, you know, like 250 pounds. And that's actually a little more than me. And she was there, and this was a case not of people, you know, going past her and teasing her or bullying her, but of somebody from the convention came up to her and said, if we get one more complaint about you, you're going to have to leave. Do you have some other clothes you brought that you can wear? And she looked around and there were people so scantily clad compared to her. It was ridiculous. And she's like, well, you haven't told them. They're still here. And the person said, well, no, they've been warned. And she saw them throughout the convention. They were laughing, taking pictures, and obviously had not been warned because they had not changed their costumes. And she actually put up a couple of pictures of other people there who were more scantily clad than her. And it was completely disgusting because one of these people was absolutely topless, nude from the waist up with black body paint on. And they were cosplaying a character that has like a very big oval mouth full of teeth with a big long red tongue. And I can't remember the name of that character. It's kind of like,
I think it's a video game. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and it's pretty hideous looking. But this woman, you can see her nipples. And she was completely nude up from the waist up, just black body paint. And that was, to not warn this person and kick them out of the convention was absolutely unforgivable and an insult to injury that this other woman, who was fully clothed, gets, you know, hassled. So this woman, and here's another thing I'm telling you, Dennis, the staff at some of these conventions are completely pathetically stupid, because this woman had a press pass on top of everything else. You don't think that woman is going to go and tweet how badly she was handled and bullied? Oh, no. She tweeted this, and there was a bleep storm of tweets saying this convention, you know, basically, screw this convention. You people are horrible. You should apologize to her. How, you know, thoughtless and nasty this was to do to this woman. And look at all this other stuff walking around that's, you know, more than half naked. How dare you? There was so much anger leveled at this convention on Twitter that they hunted this woman down among the thousands of attendees, and they apologized to her. They apologized all over, but they only really kind of added salt to the wound and kicked the dog, because they offered her a free t-shirt for her trouble. And she absolutely felt, you know, she felt bad enough and embarrassed enough as it was, but to go, you know, to have someone, you know, go up to her and say, oh, you know, we're so sorry, please stop, you know, basically, please stop tweeting all of this negativity about us here, have a free shirt, it's on us. You know, it makes you want to punch these people's lights out.
Because it makes it sound like it was disingenuous.
The insensitivity was disgusting.
They didn't want to apologize, they wanted her to stop tweeting.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, we're not stupid. Just because someone is overweight doesn't mean we're stupid, and we are very conscious of this kind of stuff.
And news is instantaneous now with Twitter and with
Twitter. Oh yeah,
and Instagram,
and you know. And to pick your target as somebody in the press. Actually, I want to thank that stupid staff person for picking that target, because you made our point. You were dumb enough to go after somebody who has power in the press on top of Twitter to make a point. You know, you could have just turned around to these people complaining and said, you know what, there's 10,000 attendees here. Go look at the other 9,999. You don't need to be looking at somebody that you think offends you. And, you know, there's plenty of other people here dressed way worse. But thank you, you stupid security person. You really just made our point.
Well, here's the thing. We've been on staff on various cons for years and years and years.
Yeah.
You know, you have a complaint. As staff, you have to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But you also have to weigh it and see if this is a genuine complaint or somebody just has an issue.
Is this valid, or is this some clown walking around going, I'm so traumatized by fat people, I can't handle it. Oh, look, there's a cosplayer over there. How dare they don't walk around in a potato sack with a bag over their head?
Yes.
You know, they just turn around to that person and go, I'm sorry. They are dressed in the dress code that's proper for this convention. You need to go get therapy. Thank you very much. Get out of here. You know,
you really have to discern, is this a real problem, or is the person complaining the one with the problem?
Exactly. Is it them creating the problem? Yeah. So I hear stuff like this and it really makes me mad. But yeah, there's, you know, that broke this week. This picture, probably Susan put it up in response to a lot of this going on. It's just, come on, people. I mean, so much of the U.S. is overweight out there, according to doctor's standards, which are anorexic. So you're just, you know, actually, Awful Husband, you said something earlier about this, about a person that just goes out there and trolls and hates. I want you to repeat that.
When somebody makes a complaint, my question is, who's the one complaining? I mean, obviously, this person has an issue, but, you know, you can't hate and be happy at the same time.
So,
why are you going to a convention if you're not going to be happy and enjoy it?
Yeah, I know.
Are you there just to put people down because you don't happen to think they look good in that particular costume?
And what good does it do you, you know? Yeah. I was terribly bullied as a kid. I was horribly bullied, mercilessly. And there was an incident I remember and I will never forget. And I don't have a lot of memories from my childhood. But this one I remember, of being bullied for what I was wearing. And it was not revealing. It was not improper. It just was not in style. And it makes you feel terrible, even though you might not, you know, you tell yourself you don't care, you shove your feelings down, and then you end up needing therapy for them 20 years later. It's not fair. It's not right. It doesn't make you look any smarter or cleverer or better than the other person that you're putting down. You just look like a fool, somebody with issues. You know, you need to go get therapy and stop it, because it's not right.
It's not. And you have to keep in mind that there are different levels of costuming and cosplaying. You know, somebody who has $5,000 will make the perfect Klingon outfit, and they do cost that. And we remember back when the original Planet of the Apes came out, people do Planet of the Apes, you know, Urkos and all that, and they would cost like $3,000.
Yeah.
Well, some people don't have that kind of money. Some people have it, but they don't want to spend it on a costume. I mean, I like to do some costuming. I do Mr. Gumby from Monty Python, and I do the Lumberjack from Monty Python. Those costumes cost me $100. Now, I'd love to do, like, Action Bastard from Shin-Chan, but to do it right would probably cost me $1,000. I don't want
to
spend that much money.
Oh, it costs you more of the surgery to cut your legs off and make you look like a five-year-old.
I'm not that much into it. If I have $1,000, I'm going to spend it on Lego.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so,
your priorities are straight.
Some people don't have that kind of money. Some people don't have that kind of skill, or they don't want to spend it. They want to go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
They want to go on and put a costume and pretend that they're whatever favorite character is and just have fun with it. That's what it is. Cosplay.
Yes. Hello. So don't go pissing on somebody else's parade. We're going to leave it at that. We'd like to be mostly positive here.
Yeah.
But
have fun and let others have fun.
Have fun and let others have fun. Let's leave it at that.
Yes.
And God help them, the person I see bullying somebody at a convention, because I will put them in the hospital. Period. End of story. I don't care if they're five times my size. I've stood down 6'3" guys and verbally put them in their place, and they've run away with their tail between their legs.
Yep.
Don't think if you're at a convention, you are safe. If you're at the same convention I am and I see you do this, you're in a world of hurt. So anyway, on to lighter things.
Yes.
Just had to get that out of my system. Arr, arr, arr.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do you have?
Not a whole too much more. I would like to give a shout out to here on Krypton Radio, Planet Tokyo, which plays Japanese music, J-pop music, anime music from 7 to 9 p.m. on Sundays.
Awesome.
By Willow Leafstrom. She's the one that DJs it. And she's been doing a really good job.
Yes,
and,
she does.
You know, the fact that they actually play a piece of Planet Tokyo by Puffy AmiYumi is like all the better.
Oh yes, it makes it right with the world with as far as
so he did a good job on that.
Husband is concerned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and another shout out, a very special shout out we have to do.
What?
On the 21st of this month, which was just yesterday while we're recording this, a fireplace girl got married.
Yay!
And she married Brit Boy in Britain. So
Yay! Congratulations,
you two.
Much love to you. I hear there are pictures. And if I can get above my client workload that long enough, I'm going to definitely take a look at them.
Yeah.
And
it was an outdoor wedding. It was real beautiful. I mean, huge trees and everything.
Wow. Kind of reminds me of our wedding. Our trees were not as large, but we did have an outdoor wedding, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So we must have had some influence on that.
And her parents came over from Florida, and her brother from San Diego here.
Yeah.
So it was a good wedding.
I miss Cliff.
Cliff was a great roommate.
He's so awesome. He is not made of Lego, but he is made of awesome.
And he works at Villainous Lair in San Diego. That's a comic book shop.
Yes.
Check it out. They have a Facebook page.
And they, boy, I tell you, the National City Chamber of Commerce really loves them because they keep giving them awards for, like, best store.
Win awards!
Yes. Fantastic.
And they have.
Yes. So
I think that's it for my shout-outs. Anything, Time Siren?
That's it for me. I've been really insanely busy. It's been very difficult to catch up on things, though. I tell you, I attract these people quite a bit because I was in the credit union making a bank deposit, an awful mundane thing we all have to do. And I was wearing my black lace gloves, and I walked past this one person who was talking to a loan officer, and she said, "Oh, those are beautiful gloves. They're very steampunk." And I said, "Oh, are they really?" And we got talking. One thing led to another. Turns out she cosplays a steampunk fairy. Knows Gaslight Gathering, said that she actually got Poplock Holmes and his current girlfriend together, and I was swinging all over the place about her work for autism and raising money for that, and we are going to have her as a future guest. So
we're everywhere.
Doesn't matter where you are in the world. You could be doing the most mundane thing, and you're going to run into one of us.
Yes.
So be kind to everybody out there, because you never know. That person may be the judge against your next cosplay. So don't cut them off on the road, or oh boy, are you in trouble. Yeah. You're not going to get that award. So, anywho, I am the Time Siren.
I am the Awful Husband.
And we are a Krypton Radio production. We want to give much sugar and love and shout out to Gene and Susan, our general managers, and the wonderful staff there that keep it going. Go to KryptonRadio.com and click on the PayPal button and donate to these people, because they're doing this out of their pocket and costs a lot of money a month. So please help us keep it on the air.
You can support them for like $5 a month.
Yeah.
And it really helps them.
Yes.
You know, we're still in the process of getting sponsors. So, yes. You know, just help them out.
Help them out. They really need and deserve it. And we will see you next week. And hopefully we will have our Mad Woman back. Yes.
And if I may end this whole broadcast on the words of Casey Kasem, keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars.
That was made of awesome. The Corsetteers would like to embarrass and be generally annoying to the city of San Luis Obispo, adult fans of Lego, Webster's Dictionary, ostriches, who are generally annoying and terrifying anyway, so they don't need help from us, and Krypton Radio. This has been, was, or will be a Krypton Radio production. Please visit www.corsetteers-closet.com for prior episodes, links to our social networks, show notes, email addresses, and a new blog. We would love to hear from you.